Good afternoon. So I'm going to talk about the moon, not Mars, in this Mars session. So this is the Sea of Storms. This is a map. It's not actually a picture of the moon. It's a reconstruction from LROC of the moon. Now, LROC was funded by the NASA Human Exploration Initiative. In the Sea of Storms, which we've never visited, we don't know what basalts are on the surface still, no samples. There are two sinuous rills. We don't know how sinuous rills are really formed. On sinuous rill A, at the end of it, there is this little image, which was found by the Kaggura spacecraft. LROC took that image in 2010, after the Selene discovered this, an amazing discovery, to spot something like that. And we close in on it, we realise we've got a feature which is, to me, very interesting. And I'm not a geologist, I'm an aerospace engineer, but if you're a geologist and you're not interested in this, I think you're in the wrong topic. But as an aerospace engineer, I find that stunning, maybe for the wrong reasons, because there's a void under there. I want to know what's under there. I'm a curious beast, and I want to know what's there, inside there, in the Marius Hills, in the Sea of Storms. There are caves on the moon. And the Sea of Tranquility, 300 kilometres from where Apollo 11 landed. But over there is another hole, or pit, in the Sea of Tranquility. Now, this is bigger than the other one. It's nearly 100 metres in diameter and 100 metres deep. You can see rubble at the base and scree around the pit, which would make it difficult to get a rover in there. But there is a line of sight from Earth. That one, you can see part of the base of the pit from Earth. The big difference with the Marius Hill feature is that there's no rill here. This is appearing right in the middle of the Sea of Tranquility. No real feature. So we don't know why that's there. Now, on Earth, we get these sinkholes. This is one up near Venezuela, in the Tepuy there. They're made of limestone, and you get acidic erosion of limestone and cast features, and that's caused by water. But you also get erosion in Guatemala City recently. There was a sinkhole appeared in the middle of the city, and that's a pyroclastic flow. We had a lot of pumice, which is a very soft material, and that was eroded by water pipes. So it was human action. And that suddenly appeared. The difference in the moon is, of course, there was never any substantial water on the moon. But lunar lava is a lot less viscous than the lava we have on Earth. And it's also 1/6 gravity, so it's going to flow differently. And there's a theory that you can have erosion of these pyroclastic flows, or you can have erosion of the subsurface rocks. And that would have occurred about 2.5 billion years ago, we think. So there could have been some lava drainage underneath the surface, which brings me to the point about lava tubes. Now, in Australia, we have one wonderful asset. It is called Mundara. Mundara is an Aborigine word meaning a long way. And I've been in that feature. How many people have been up to Mundara? Has anyone been there? We are missing out. Get up to Cairns, drive 5 hours out of Cairns, and come to these lava tubes. They're amazing to walk through. They're huge, and they go kilometres long. And there are an environment which is fixed temperature that doesn't change. In the heat of the sun of Queensland, when it was 32 degrees centigrade outside, nice and cool and pleasant in there. Well, these are also another skylight you can see in Victoria, and they call them skylights. So when a lava tube is eroded from above and you get some fall, you get a skylight, which you can see above. Now, normally they wouldn't have sediment in there if it wasn't for sedimentary processes, so... Now, why is that important? Why am I interested in that? I don't know fully, but the geology should be interested because that tells a lot about volcanic formation. If we can establish, are those pits entrance to lava tubes? That tells a lot about lunar formation. But it's also interesting because it could be a breakthrough for us in expanding out into the solar system, because this is where we could put future lunar bases. And why would we put them there? Because the surface is awful to be on. It has got a lot of radiation and a bombardment of meteorites, so it's a difficult place to be. You're going to have to cover your base with regolith. It's a lot of work. And it's also going to be a lot of work to bring things down here and do things. But once you're in there, you're going to have a stable environment and create, eventually, underground shopping malls. To get to the moon, there aren't many missions. There's not much interest getting back to the moon. Everyone's interested in Mars and Europa, which is great, and exobiology, and I love it. But why are we not going back to the moon? Well, we are. China's going to the moon, and they've got another mission planned. India's going as well. The Japanese may be planning a mission still. I'm not sure the status of that mission. All the others are very doubtful, and they're mainly heading to the South Pole because of the interest of water trapped in the South Pole, so that's understandable. So what can we do if we did a mission like this? Well, we could fly maybe piggyback, if we're really lucky. Convince a Japanese agency like, you know, JAXA to fly a little piggyback probe maybe with their slim mission. Or my friend Bob Richard, who works at Moon Express, ask him to fly. He will charge me money, though, if I go there, quite a lot. If we did make a little lander, then we could have to use rocket propulsion, and we've done that. We can fly rocket propulsion, and we test these things on Earth, and universities test things, not as sophisticated as this particular Mighty Eagle. But that only hovers for about about 45 seconds. But on the moon, you get to hover six times as long for the lower surface gravity, so you can hop around. But it'd be difficult to actually hop straight into that hole. My analogy is like golf. If you were trying to go a hole in one, that would be difficult. It's probably best to hop in two ways. So because you've got no GPS on the surface of the moon, you're going to have a large dispersion. Apollo was, you know, tens of kilometers dispersion area. So you're going to land somewhere near the hole, and you're going to be about typically 1-3 kilometers away, if you do well, in terrain which is reasonable. And then you're going to have to hop from the landing site into that pit feature, because you want to see what's inside there. And you can do some equations and work out that's perfectly feasible. And you can do some sums with propulsion, and you can choose the best propulsion system. And it's a standard hydrazine, which is standard propulsion, is the best way to do this. So there's lots of different strategies. You can hop straight in, or you can hop in and come out, or you can hop and dangle down a tether. And we did some evaluation of different risks of different strategies, and that last one appears to be one of the best. So you reel down some kind of probe with a camera and lighting and look inside and see what's around the corner, and send your signals back to Earth. That seems to be one of the lowest cost, lowest risk missions. Kind of got Sky Crane heritage as well. So you have some little probe, and then some other thing you lower, spool down. In flight, while you're hopping there, you can spool that down, and then lower into the surface. And that's all known. There's no unknown dynamics, no unknowns. It's all, you know, easy done, pretty with the current technology. We've got some students to do some studies of this and do preliminary designs. It's fun. And now to Mars, which you're more interested in. Of course, the moon's not the only place with these features. These are remarkable features. Now, here we can see a string of these pit features running with a rill-like feature, which I believe is volcanic, not fluvial. And looking there, you can see this amazing void in that feature. Look, it reminds me of an anthill. These are two voids which are in line, possibly with a lava tube. So could they be skylights? Could they be skylights? Could we go down there? If we go to Mars, we don't necessarily use rocket propulsion. We could use quad rotor, and we could test that in Undara. Undara could be a testing field, an analog. And it turns out, although we've got very little atmosphere on Mars, we've got lower surface gravity, so you can hover enough time on lithium batteries. You could do something else as well, and this is kind of interesting. You could fire a laser beam from orbit into that pit, bounce around the signal, measure the time it takes to get back your image. And from that delay time, you can actually then measure the size of the pit. And that's been done in the Periscope project. That's a technology that's quite interesting for defense, because it means eventually we're going to be able to take pictures around corners. We can take pictures around corners. That's the interest of people. So we will be able to take pictures. We are now able to take pictures around corners and see if somebody's holding a gun behind the door. So that's where the money would come from, that kind of research. Got a slight problem, though. This is Wood Valley Pit in Hawaii. And you can see there's a collapse. And to get through that gap, you have to be quite small. And then you get through the gap, and the speleologists have gone and found these tubes and underground caverns. But it'd be quite difficult to negotiate that, so it's quite problematic. So I'm not saying we've solved all the problems. A lot of creative speleological thinking is still needed to explore these pits. So my conclusions are that the lunar pits deserve to be explored in situ. That those reconnaissance missions can be achieved with quite a small hopping device, which would hop with standard hydrogen propulsion and only 5 to 10 kilos of mass. So it's quite a small microprobe, which could be a piggyback mission. Martian pits could be explored with these quadros or something else, or the same propulsively if it's a longer distance. There is a problem, though, with contamination. Those Martian pits could be really good barter sites, according to Chris McKay, and I think he's very impressive by astrobiologists, so I tend to believe him. But that will pose a constraint on visiting them, so it'd have to be ultra clean. There are different ways of determining whether these pits exist. You can look at thermoimagery. People are doing that. There's studies of gravity, gravimetrics, to look for whether these pits are hollows, and radar. The resolution of radar won't be sufficient. It's 100 meters down, 100 meters below, and ground-penetrating radar is quite heavier kit. it's not as easy as it sounds to do. I mean, it may be one way of doing it, but ground-penetrating radar would need some sort of rover driving the surface. It wouldn't be conclusive. I really think we've got to look inside these pits and eventually explore them. I think, though, the biggest reason to explore these pits is the outreach potential. I think this is what the public would love, going to look inside the moon or inside Mars. I really think that's the outreach potential. And I think it's a game-changer for future space exploration. That's my own opinion. Yeah, the question was, why not use a rover with some sort of cotton reel and something that dangles over with a tether? There's the groups in the States looking at that. That's exactly what they're looking at. This is one option. That there's a certain risk level associated with moving over rubble and getting bogged down with rovers. That is a perfectly valid way forwards, and that people in the States are looking at that as another way. The actual solution I gave isn't just a quick mission. The idea was it tethered, and the mothercraft falls to one side, and you're left tethered in the hole. So you don't need to do much. The mission only lasts just enough to get the images. What's down there? That's all I want. And maybe carry a rad dose meter or something small. We're talking about a very, very small probe. So very limited capability and what could be done to get that lateral image. What's down there? That was the intention of a preliminary mission. You can go beyond that, and you could, of course, what I'd love to do is what Ximenides wants to do is take astronauts and abseil down there. I mean, it's 300 kilometres from the site of Apollo. Had it been discovered when Apollo landed, I'm willing to bet they'd have sent another Apollo mission within 50 metres of it, and we'd be down it 30 years ago, whatever it is, yeah? And I want to end with this H.G. Wells quote. It's an extract from his book. Let's read it together. Presently, we saw the cavern before us open up to a hazy void. In another moment, we had emerged upon a slanting gallery that projected into a vast circular space, a huge cylindrical pit running vertically. That's from the book, The First Men in the Moon. Okay, that's it.